It's on.
Okay. I'm going to turn this over to Janet Vince, who's been working with state planning on the process related to getting the comprehensive plan, or the I guess revised and amended comprehensive plan certified. So, Janet, if you want to just give them a yeah, please.
Here's a copy of the updated comprehensive plan.
Is that mic on?
Yeah.
Yes. I have not seen it.
The updated comprehensive plan was sent to the Planning and Zoning Commission for their consideration and comments at their September 21st, 2005 meeting. On September 28th, Planning and Zoning Commissioner Temple Carter, thank you, Planner Tom Wurzer and myself attended the PLUS review for the comprehensive plan. On October 19th, we received PLUS review comments from those agencies represented at the meeting. The Office of State Planning Coordination received and reviewed our PLUS response letter and revised comprehensive plan draft dated November 2nd, 2005. They determined that the draft plan satisfactorily addressed all requirements of Title 22, Section 702 of the Delaware Code and all outstanding certification items noted in their PLUS review letter dated October 19th. Prior to certification, the following must be completed: adoption by our Planning Commission and Town Council. At their December 21st meeting, the Planning and Zoning Commission recommended approval of the plan to Town Council. Submit all outstanding plan of services documentation. Currently, we are awaiting certification by our town engineer and wastewater certification from Kent County before we can submit to the state. After these steps are complete, the town will submit two paper copies and one electronic copy of the final plan and map series as adopted for the Office of State Planning Coordination records. The updated comprehensive plan incorporates the original Office of State Planning Coordination comments and town responses to the 2000-2003 draft, the agreement with Kent County regarding land south of Brentford Road, the result of the litigation with Newcastle County regarding sewer service north of Duck Creek, the proposed changes submitted to PLUS in December 2004, and the PLUS comments of January 2005, and the agreement between the state, between the town, state, and Newcastle County regarding the growth area north of town. Many are simply grammatical corrections, changes in council staff membership, or updating the status of an action that was anticipated or underway in 2002. In some cases, the changes result from a completion of additional planning initiatives by the town since the plan was last updated. The primary changes of substance that I want to call to your attention are the community profile, updating of demographic information and projections, addition of information relating to building permits and school enrollment, land use, restructuring of the commercial land use classifications as proposed and reviewed by PLUS in December 04, growth and annexation plan, updating annexation history from 2002 to present, adding information about new construction projects, adding utility information to the capacity section, and updating the discussion of the 2004 state strategies and the town-state-Newcastle County agreement. Community design section was updated to reflect action since 2002. Infrastructure and community facilities plan updated the information regarding capacities, customers, and planning for utilities, current capital projects, the Newcastle County agreement, and updated discussions of fire and educational needs. The transportation plan, revisions to the account for completed projects, ongoing planning coordination with DLDOT and the MPO, and the implications of continued growth west of Smyrna and Clayton. Historic and cultural resources plan, updating information and adding discussion of the adoption of the Historic Preservation Overlay District Design Review and Historic Preservation Board provisions. The economic development plan, added information regarding Walmart Distribution Center and proposed medical center project, and rewrote the section to reflect completion of an economic development plan in 2003-2004. The housing plan revised the section to add discussion of redevelopment authority and blight removal initiatives. Environmental protection, open space, and recreation plan updated the park information, added discussion of water quality issues and Newcastle County agreement provisions dealing with source water protection and other issues. In implementation, we revised the section to identify the work completed and update the schedule and better organize items. And the appendix and the annexation history was updated. The information was updated on annexation since 2002. After this evening, once the certified plan of services are submitted, the comprehensive plan will be submitted to the state.
Where we are in the process, this is basically the last step in getting Connie to sign off and certify the comp plan, including the areas to the north, consistent with all the agreements and whatever that relate to that area. Most of what's been happening in the last 6 months, at least, is very much process-oriented. It's correcting information, addressing comments by state agencies and whatever, but one of the things that the State Planning Office specifically asked is that since the original plan was adopted in 2002, they wanted evidence that both the Planning Commission and the Council had readopted it, in essence, readopted it with the corrections so that it was current. And that's basically what we're asking you to do tonight.
Okay. Do we have any questions? Dave, I don't really recall timetables associated with the comprehensive plan, but is it every 5 years that they have to be sent back?
It's every 5 years. So we'll need – this action doesn't change our original resubmission or review date. It'll still be sometime in 2007. So since our plan was originally approved and except for Newcastle County certified in 02, then it'll be 2007, 2012, that cycle. This is, in essence, an interim recertification, if you will.
Any other questions? Anyone in the audience have any questions? Any members of the public? Hearing none, we'll have a motion to close the public hearing.
Make a motion to close public hearing on the reviewed revised comprehensive plan.
Mr. Byrd seconded. All in favor? We'll reconvene in about 20 minutes. We'll go over dinner.
Regarding the relocation of Fisher Street Alley, Mr. Hood.
Okay. You probably can't see it over there by the chief, but let me back up. Fisher Street runs from Chestnut Street and US 13 northbound to South Street and then doglegs a little bit and runs about another half a block into the municipal parking lot north from South Street. Right now, it is the separation between what used to be the site of the Harris Manufacturing Building and the P.T. Morgan facility. The plans for the Smyrna Medical Facility, what is the correct name, Tom, these days?
Wellness
and Medical Center or something like that. Envision an L-shaped building as shown on the drawing over there facing on South Main Street and East South Street, extending across what is now the intersection of Fisher Street and East South Street, and a parking lot behind the building that would encompass part of the property that used to be occupied by buildings. The proposal for relocating Fisher Street is to have it intersect the parking lot at its current location, its current alignment, and then follow, kind of do a dog leg through the parking lot and come out to a new entrance that's probably 50 feet further to the east, more or less. Fisher Street will exist at that point as a cross easement or access easement through the parking lot, allowing people theoretically to use Fisher Street from South Street to its current intersection at Chestnut Street. But for a portion of the actual location, it will be part of the driveway, if you will, or the vehicular circulation within the parking lot. Because it is a town street, we have to go through the abandonment and relocation process. And so what we have before us tonight is the public hearing on the matter of relocating that portion of Fisher Street. And then assuming that council is satisfactorily convinced that that's a good idea, then item 8B is a resolution to actually approve the relocation of Fisher Street or Fisher Street Alley. Although I know he's probably not prepared to talk about it, but Tom Payne is here.
Of course
if you want to talk about the relocation of Fisher Street as it relates to your project, and if you have comments or questions or anything.
Well, crucial to the project, and I think we've done our homework as far as crossing T's and dotting I's about how to vacate it and reorganize it. Our engineers have done a good job. You guys have advertised. We've had a series of hearings, and I hope we can get it resolved tonight. Without the vacation for the reorganization of Fisher Street, we would have difficulty meeting some parking requirements that the hospital has. And that's really the reason why we're requesting this.
Okay. Anyone have any questions?
Have we had any objections from members of the public on this?
We've not had any objections. I was contacted by a member of the Main Street Association who was concerned about the portion of Fisher Street from East South Street northbound. In other words, the part that goes into the parking lot, the municipal parking lot, that is not affected by any of these changes. So that was the primary concern I heard from anyone. The fire company has seen the plan. To the best of my knowledge, they have no concerns because they still are able to get, in fact, they actually get better access to this whole area by virtue of the new entrance on Main Street and the relocated entrance on South Street.
Very good. Thank you.
Is the town going to abandon the portion of Fisher Street that's located within the parking lot? Within the parking area?
Actually, what will happen is the town will vacate or abandon the right-of-way of the existing Fisher Street, and in return then, through a cross-easement agreement, recreate Fisher Street as an access lane through the parking lot connecting back to the rest of Fisher. So you'll have a street through there, but it won't be...
It will be a public street through there?
It'll be a public access. The actual... documents. I'm not sure how that actually gets worked out, but there's a public access, public right-of-way provision in the deed documents or the development documents that allow that to be a publicly used right-of-way.
We could just clarify whether it's a public roadway or a
part of the parking lot. Yeah,
just for jurisdictional purposes as to what we can.
Maybe when Mr. Jaywork gets here or afterwards, we can. You know, address that with him. I know that we have looked at the language of a cross-access agreement, so it continues to function as a public way. But whether that meets all your requirements or not, I don't know. So that's a good observation.
Any members of the public like to make comment?
There is some in that area. The most of the circuit that runs down Main Street now will be relocated to East Street, and that most of that pole line is already in existence. We put that pole line in the spring. The line that goes that comes up South Main Street to the property will terminate at the entrance to the parking lot, go underground to feed the medical center, and then I think this the next pole is on South Street near your new entrance, I believe, is somewhere in there, and then it crosses the street to the parking lot area by municipal parking lot. So over time, that whole set of poles gets essentially taken out of there. ChristianaCare or the developer will pay for the electric relocation within their project area because that's part of the project. The town's paying for the relocation of off of Main Street onto East Street, and the town will pay for the new service that'll come basically, got to get my bearings here, kind of behind ferries, jump across South Street and pick up the library in that section. That's part of our relocation of lines. That was already part of the, and that's part of the Delaware Street project that takes the other line out.
Any other comments? Anyone have any questions? What's the pleasure of the council? Is there a motion to close the public hearing?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
We will reconvene in about 10 minutes, about 5 minutes, actually. Hearing to order regarding the Bay Health project on Wheatleach Pond Road. Mr. Hug.
Okay. Before you tonight, you have a legislative fact-finding to be followed by an annexation to set the, or a resolution to set the annexation election. This is a property that came before us once before, and for some reason the owners withdrew it. It's the triangle of land, a little bit over a tenth of an acre, at the intersection of Carter Road and Wheatley's Pond Road, or Route 300. There used to be a house that sat in the triangle, the old road right away. At one time was did not intersect Carter Road at a right angle, or did not intersect, I guess, Wheatley's Pond Road at a right angle. Property is owned by Bay Health. They have asked to have it annexed into town. It eliminates an enclave and does square up the boundaries of the town, so it's to our advantage to want to do so. It includes the existing right-of-way of the former road, which I understand has been abandoned by DelDOT and transferred to that property owner. Under the annexation procedures, you're required to hold a hearing tonight and to set, if you choose to do so, set the election date. The election date is proposed for February the 9th at 9 o'clock in Town Hall.
Any questions? Anyone from the public like to speak?
Good evening. My name is Mike Ryman. I'm an engineer with Becker Morgan Group, representing our client, Bay Health. Mr. Jerry Peters, who is with Bay Health, is here tonight to answer any questions that you might have. I wanted to show you the piece of property that we're referring to. It's this corner piece, which is roughly less than a half acre. Bay Health also owns this larger piece, which has some existing offices on the property. The purpose of the annexation is to develop this property as a whole within the town into a medical office use. We would be proposing to do that under the current zoning of this piece, which is highway commercial. We understand the next step would be to go to planning and zoning and set the zoning and then come back before you for a final resolution. We plan on submitting a site plan for this entire piece in the very near future once we've finished with the annexation. Other than that, that's really all I have. Short and sweet. Be happy to answer any questions.
Where's the interest going to be coming into the place?
Well, there's an existing entrance at this point. Initial concept plans, we're still developing those. We haven't finalized anything at this point, but we would be coming back before planning and zoning with a site plan. We are proposing at this point to utilize that existing entrance.
Dumping out on 300 then?
At this point, the conceptual plans are just very early on. Thanks.
Anybody else like to make comment? Well, thanks for being here, Jerry. We appreciate it. We appreciate Bay Health's investment in the community. Hearing no further questions, is there a motion to close the public hearing?
Yeah, I'll make a motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. We'll reconvene in about 10 minutes. Chief, would you open the meeting with a pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We have a brief moment of silent reflection, and if we could keep Jeannie Stuhler in our prayers tonight, it would be very much appreciated. Thank you. Are there any additions or deletions to the agenda?
Go ahead.
I would ask that we table item 9B until the next meeting. We've not been able to get all the information together in order to give you a full discussion of the various permit and other fees relating to the Christiana Care Project. And we also have a request that came in at 4 something this afternoon on your desk from Citizens Hose Company that I would like to ask to be added as item 9G.
Okay. We'll vote on 9B at the appropriate time.
Correct. And,
any other changes? What's the pleasure of the council?
I'll make a motion to approve the amended agenda.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. I do have one thing. Mr. Hogue put this on my desk. The town of Smyrna received this beautiful plaque for recognition of 20 years of membership and participation in the National League of Cities. And Mr. Hogue will hang that in the appropriate place. Thank you. And that is all I have, Mr. Jaywork.
I don't have anything, Mr. Mayor. I have one little announcement just to give you all a heads up. I will not be able to make the next council meeting.
Let's go back and do the minutes. I apologize. We'll get to the chief next. Are there any corrections or additions, changes to the minutes?
Mr. Mayor, I put in front of you tonight a corrected first page for the minutes from December the 19th, 2005. Inadvertently, they said November, I think 21st of 2005. So if you would
just correct the
substitute the first page.
Anything else? What's the pleasure of the council regarding the minutes?
Make a motion to accept them as it read.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Now we'll get to the chief. Chief, sorry.
That's right. I have no written report for this evening. However, I did note that there is a copy of a letter from Mr. Jaywork to Mr. Hug, dated December 22nd of 2005, indicating that Mr. Romano has apparently signed the documents for the land swap. As I understood council's instructions at the last meeting, once it was ascertained if in fact that those documents had been signed, that the issue would be referred to a joint meeting of budget committee and public safety, I believe. And I just wanted to tell council that it's my intention to contact our engineering representative from the town's engineering firm, KCI, to meet with us and give us some idea as to how the current project could be scaled back, and try to give us some idea of what kind of numbers we're talking about.
Okay. Any questions for the chief? Mr. Hug?
You have my written report in your file. You also have an update information relating to the unfortunately constantly increasing cost of wholesale energy. Although we have not gotten the final DMAC bill, it appears that the wholesale energy costs for the month of December will be in excess of about $95 a megawatt. One of the things that was attached to the manager's report is this graph that shows you what is happening to energy prices. Other than the unusual dip in November, the actual trend, if you go back and look from about August to December, is in the high 80s. I think the average is about $85 or $86. We have a number of corrections and addition revisions to the base rates and tariffs that are subject to the agenda a bit later. As required by the town's ordinance, I was faced with it with once again having to raise the PPAC. We were appropriate bandwidth for allowing the PPAC to float is plus or minus 3% for the month of December. Based on the preliminary numbers, we were at 7.14%, so we were significantly outside the boundaries established by the town ordinance. The PPAC will be raised to 0614 effective with the January billings. This is necessitated in large part by the fact that at 99.89, which is the projected number that is on your chart, the town will see a net revenue loss of about $146,000 in December if we do not raise the PPAC. If we raise the PPAC to this rate and continue to average our costs, we will continue to carry about a $500,000 shortfall in unrealized revenues until about next summer. So that's the situation we're currently in. There does not seem to be any indications anywhere that energy prices are going to do anything but go up. I talked to the city of Milford today, talked to Dick Carmine. At their council meeting before Christmas, they raised their PPAC from 0.05 to 0.6062 and are anticipating raising it again for this for their January billings. I was not able to reach Dolores Slatcher in Seaford, but my understanding is that they also are going to be raising their energy adjustment by the same amount. One of the items that you have before you on your agenda is a proposed ordinance to restructure the tariff and raise the base rate. When we get to that item on the agenda, I'll try and explain what the purpose of that is. But that's...
Did you want to inform the public about Mr. Fletcher?
Yes, I will as well. When I came on board a couple of years ago, Sam Fletcher advised me that when he got his 30 years in and or turned 55, that he was going to retire and breed horses and go hunting. He came to my office today and advised me that, although he's not 55 yet, that he is, in fact, going to retire at the end of January. So we will be losing our electric supervisor to retirement at the end of January. Bill Evans, who has been his right-hand man and senior, was his title is senior lineman, I believe is his correct title, at least initially will be taking over for Sam while we consider what to do in that area. Sam is leaving the town with a lot of good thoughts and memories, and a lot of he asked me to express to the public, the folks he's been serving, that he's made a lot of good friends, and it certainly was a tough decision for him to make, but it's one that he's been planning to make for certainly the last 15 years of his 30 years of town service, 32 years of town service. So we wish him well in retirement.
I have a question for you, just an administrative question. I noted that there's a library site location subcommittee.
Correct.
Who appointed that committee?
That's a subcommittee that was appointed from the Long Range Planning Committee. One of the agenda items the Long Range Planning Committee has been looking at is the need for and the proposed location, funding, et cetera, for a new library. From their meeting on December the 12th, I believe it was, or something in there, but in mid-December, there were six members. Ms. Wicks is one of the members, along with someone from the Historical Society or the Heritage Association and the librarian, a member of the State Library Task Force, who agreed to be a subcommittee to look for possible sites that meet the state criteria. They'll be recommended back to the Long Range Planning Committee in January or February. They're an ad hoc committee.
Why don't you let me know who that is so we can do that appropriately
okay.
at the next meeting.
Okay, I can do that. We can appoint them officially.
Thank you. Any committee reports?
Yeah, the utility committee is planning to meet on January the 11th at 3 o'clock. Their agenda will include the three ordinances that are before council, the two new ones tonight, and ordinance number 001, which deals with out-of-town water and sewer rates.
Any other committee reports?
The Business Development Committee will meet Thursday morning at 8:30.
Hearing no other reports, now is the time on the agenda to hear from the public. If there's anybody that would like to address the council, now is the time to do so. Chief, just for your information, we thought we'd do you when you came up on the agenda.
If I may, with the indulgence of counsel, I'd just like to recognize one of our citizens in the audience tonight, somebody very special. Mr. John O'Grady III just got back from an active tour of duty in Iraq, and I think we all ought to welcome him home.
John, could you...
Thank you.
Thank you for your service, John. Mr. Catalino.
Good evening. Larry Catalino, 931 Tamara Drive. Just had one comment as I drove up. And I think the council needs to start projecting a good image of good stewardship. Mr. Hugg has just told us of huge rate increases, and yet there are 500 or 600 4-watt bulbs burning around the town, around this council chamber or outside. It's time to turn this off. Save us some money. I don't know how much you all are paying. I know it's wholesale, but it still is not projecting a good image. I cut back. I didn't put a whole lot of lights on my house. I just put a small manger scene for the season, and it's off. But as far as huge commitment of these large energy-burning bulbs, it really is time to turn them off, please, and save us all some money. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Anyone else like to address the council? Seeing no one come forward, I'll close the public portion of the meeting. Thank you. 8A, old business resolution to set annexation for the Bay Health Medical Center. What's the pleasure of the council?
I'll make a motion. We adopt a resolution to set the annexation date for the Bay Health Medical Center for February 9th. Oh, it says 2005.
Yeah, I'm sorry. It's a correction.
2006.
Yeah.
I'll second it.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Presley.
Carried unanimously. 8B, resolution reference Fisher Street Alley. What's the pleasure of the council? Motion to adopt the resolution.
Make a motion to adopt the resolution on Fisher Street Alley.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you very much. 8C, adoption of the revised comprehensive plan. Is there a motion to adopt the revised comprehensive plan?
I'll make a motion that we adopt the revised comprehensive plan.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. 8D, set the zoning designation for the SAP property to R3. Motion to set the SAP property to R3.
It's the property at the corner of Lexington and Clemens Street. It's, you kind of follow the map, this is South Street, Howard Street, Lexington, and Clemens. It fills in the balance of this block that has been annexed. In previous action council, you approved that
SAP was annexed. Correct.
SAP is, yeah. What did not happen? You went through your election hearing and what have you. You need to set the actual zoning designation and reaffirm the annexation. We neglected to do the zoning. So,
okay. Can I take D and E together?
Yeah, you can.
Okay. Make a motion. We set the zoning designation for SAP to R3. And adopt a resolution approving SAP annexation.
Second.
One question, please. What was the recommendation from the Planning and Zoning Commission on this?
Just for R3 and to approve the annexation.
Very good. Thank you.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. 8F, award the bid for the steel poles.
Correct a misconception last council meeting. This is the second part of a approval of bids that you did last time. I think I inadvertently told you it was for the steel poles. It was for the materials for the steel poles, and this is the bid award for the steel poles themselves for the utility lines associated with the new substation. Again, as I indicated the last meeting, this is a single bidder who had an acceptable bid. We had bids from, I believe, four bidders. Only Thomas and Betts / Meyer Steel Structures could meet the required delivery time. They were also, I believe, the lowest bidder. They were the lowest bidder. I'm recommending that we award the bid for the steel poles themselves to Thomas and Betts / Meyer Steel Structures in the amount of $73,183.
What's the pleasure of council?
I'll make a motion that we award the bid for the steel poles procurement for the 25 kilovolt distribution, 138 kilovolt transmission project.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. 9A, new business, first reading of ordinance 003-06. Mr. Hugg, did you want to give us a short explanation?
Yes, sir. The electric rates are based upon a set base rate and then a tariff for individual classes of customers as modified by the PPAC. We last changed the base rate, actually reduced the base rate back in, I believe, 1996 or so, reduced it from, I got to find my note here, reduced it from 5 cents a kilowatt to 4.5 cents a kilowatt. This ordinance would increase the base rate from the current 4.5 cents a kilowatt to 7.5 cents a kilowatt, adjust the individual energy charges, and at the same time reduce the PPAC from the most recent 6.14 to 0.03. So it's a revenue neutral change, but what it does is bring the base rate and PPAC relationship back in order. Normally you do not want the PPAC to be much more than 10 or 20% above the base rate. Right now, the PPAC is 150% of the base rate, which is way out of kilter. So this simply realigns the relationship, changes the rate structure appropriately, and then as a result, the PPAC gets adjusted downward.
You'd like to ask the council to refer that to the utility committee?
I would like this to be considered the first reading and refer to the utility committee.
I'll make a motion that this be referred to the utility committee.
I'll second. I have a question also. Does this make the PPAC reflect more the cost of fuel?
Yeah, the PPAC was intended to reflect, you're right, the sort of fluctuation in wholesale price due to fuel cost. What's happened is the PPAC is reflecting now the total delivered price, including transmission, capacity, demand, whatever, which it isn't supposed to be doing. It's not designed to do that. And so this would bring that relationship back in order. If wholesale prices were to come down, theoretically the PPAC could go to zero.
I have a question, too. Mr. Hugg, is the town getting any assistance from either Downs or DMEC in the redeveloping the new?
They are. In fact, this is the reason you got this ordinance tonight was that I just got it from David Downs this morning in final form, and they're working with us on that. They also are going to come to the utility committee to kind of walk through this whole wholesale energy cost issue and pricing structure.
Right. And this is the last thing, just for comment, just I want to make sure that the press and the public understand that this, when Mr. Hugg said this was revenue neutral, this is simply the rate that people pay is going to be the same. It's just going to be whether it's right. Allocated to the base rate or the PPAC. But the amount you pay is not going to change because of this.
Under this particular provision, no. The billing would stay the same, but the relationship between the actual cost of energy and the fuel adjustment would be different.
Advised. When you look at your bill, how it will look like you're paying a lot more for electricity, but
your PPAC,
well, a lot more
right.
For PPAC.
Right. That's correct.
Yeah.
Any other questions?
Closer to the true cost of the energy you're using, not the fuel cost.
Hearing no further questions, we'll call the question. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. Thank you. I'd like to ask the council to table 9B.
Make a motion. We table 9B.
Second. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. 9C, resolution to amend the guidelines for public access to records. You have that document in your packet. What's the pleasure of council?
Mr. Mayor, before you vote on this, I'd like to just suggest one little addition at the end there where it says who researches or reviews the information. I put a comma there and then say if necessary to respond to the FOIA request. Because I want to make it clear that there's not going to be a legal research and review fee with every FOIA request, but only if it's necessary to respond properly to the request.
Okay. Is there a motion with that change?
The suggested change, Terry, was to...
At the end, after the word information, say if necessary to respond to the FOIA request.
Okay.
I'll make a motion. We approve the resolution amending the guidelines for public access to FOIA records with the amendments as stated by Attorney Jay Work.
Second.
Any other questions, comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. 9D, first reading of Ordinance 002-06, Electric Rules and Regulations. And Mr. Hugg, would you also like this referred to the utility?
I would ask that this be referred as well. Mr. Jay Work, this is directly in response to an item that you brought to my attention. Did you want to?
This is the ordinance about the termination of service. Is that right?
Yeah, to make it consistent with state rules and regulations.
Right, yeah. This actually came up as a result of, I think, something that came from the City of Dover solicitor. I think he sent an opinion to DMEC, or somehow it came to the town, and it was forwarded to me, and I looked at it, and I agree with the city solicitor for Dover that the town ordinance dealing with disconnection of service is not totally in line with the state statute. It's close, but it's not totally in line. And this has to do with disconnecting service during times when the temperature is below a certain, I think it's 32 degrees at a certain hour of the morning, or disconnecting service for people who are overseas serving in the Army Reserve, the National Guard, a couple other disconnection of service to people when it would have an adverse effect on their health. So this is intended to bring this totally in line with the state statute.
Thank you. Is there a motion to accept the first reading and refer to the Utility Committee?
I'll make that motion as moved.
For a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Resolution charter change. Mr. Jay Work, did you want to comment on that?
This is kind of a, I guess like you say, old business. Question came up really over a year ago about the fact that under the present town charter, the new town charter, relatively new, a couple years ago, we now have supplemental assessments, scrap assessments, to pick up improvements to property during the year so that people are not waiting a whole year if they add an addition to their house to have that added to their assessment. What the charter did not cover was the procedure for whether or not there was a right to appeal that and how it would be handled. So this is kind of a housekeeping measure. This basically formalizes what I think is the procedure we've actually followed, which is people are notified that they had an increase to their tax bill because of an addition to their house or some improvement, and then they have the right to appeal that to the assessor. It's not a general appeal. It's just for the people that are affected. And this would basically, if you pass this resolution, we would then send this to our legislators and ask them to get the charter amendment in the pipeline this session.
In the cover letter to our legislators, by the way, should we not include Senator Cook? She does represent a good bit of the town of Smyrna also. Just out of courtesy.
Sure. That's fine. Did you want to amend the resolution or just do it in the cover letter?
Mr. You had a draft cover letter.
Just put it in the cover letter. Okay.
She sometimes reminds us that she does represent a good bit of Smyrna. It's important to recognize that, I think.
Okay.
What's the pleasure of the council?
I'll make a motion. We approve the resolution for charter change regarding supplemental assessments.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. I am not going to participate in the next one. I'm going to pass the gavel to the Vice Mayor.
This is a request for annexation 28 South Howard Street, which is the mobile home on the corner of Howard and Lexington. We talked at length about this last council meeting.
Right.
Is there a motion?
So moved.
Second. Mr. Professor is second. How's the council vote?
Aye.
Aye.
Well, since there are only four of us, I'm going to vote aye.
The ayes have it. Passes. Next one is a citizen's hose. Excellent citizen's hose.
9G Citizens Hose Company. Before the chief comes up, did you want to make any comment, Mr. Hardis? We just invite the.
I guess I met with the fire company or the chief and the president of the fire company. What day was that? One day last week, last Thursday, I believe. Discussed a number of issues. I just want the record to show that I gave the chief an updated map of the town of Smyrna today upon his request of the other day. He seemed to have lost the one that I'd given him before. But in any case, we discussed a number of items and have kind of a laundry list of things that we're going to try and make sure that we share back and forth information and whatever. And I will have someone come over and talk to you about the fire hydrant thing. Most of that mapping is, in fact, done, so I want to sit down with you and go over it. But at that meeting, they expressed some concern about permitting costs for some projects that they were preparing to undertake, and also the possibility of some funding that we had, I think, talked about in council a number of probably a year ago now. And so I asked Mr. Keene to send us something in writing, which he did this afternoon, and also to come to the council and discuss a couple of matters. So.
Chief, would you like to come forward? It's entirely up to you. You can paraphrase it, read it, or just also like to recognize Mr. Ricker here from the fire company.
Brooks Keaton, fire chief with Smyrna Fire Department. What I'd like to do is pretty much read the letter. It's addressed to the mayor and council. This came upon after the meeting with Mr. Hug last week. Letter states, we would like to request that the fee for the two permits being held by the town of Smyrna Building Department be waived for the Citizens Hose Company. We've applied for a permit for the replacement of a sidewalk on Commerce and Delaware Streets on the east side of our building. We've also applied for a permit for a decorative shield of white vinyl fence to be placed in front of the HVAC units on Delaware Street. These two projects were to be completed several months ago. We've had several setbacks on this project. We were originally going to replace the walk with concrete. After talking with town officials, it was suggested that we use brick pavers to match what was proposed for the rest of the downtown area. We were promised that the town of Smyrna would help make up the difference with a $20,000 assistance. Now that the project is about to start, we've been told that the money has been spent and there's nothing available. We were also set back for the review from the Historic Review Board. This is a great concern for us. We were never notified in writing that our property was placed in this historical district, nor were we notified of the review board's meeting to have someone present. Our original plan was to replace the walk and the engine room apron. With the promised money now unavailable, we must change our scope of work and only complete the sidewalk project. We understand that there are fees for services, and waiving them becomes a political nightmare. But we feel the fire department serves all the residents of the town of Smyrna free of charge. The two permits amount to over $800. We feel that these are extreme for a sidewalk and fence for a nonprofit community service organization. Thank you for your consideration. It's signed by myself, fire chief, and Robert W. Jones, president.
Have you gotten through the historic review committee?
I believe so. We haven't gotten anything in writing.
But they did review it? Yeah. Any problems? Okay, so the two issues are the $20,000 and the permit fee, correct?
Yes, sir.
To just correct the record, the $20,000 is money that is still available. It's part of the Municipal Street Aid Fund. So while we didn't include it as a line item in the budget, we have sufficient funds in Municipal Street Aid to provide that assistance. That goes back to an agreement that, or a discussion, I guess it was an agreement we had with Representative Ennis, who had also made some money available to the fire company, I think, for the apron project. Is that correct? Okay.
And I can tell you, I distinctly recall making the representation that Municipal Street Aid money would be made available.
Be there. It is not a line item in our budget, but sidewalks and aprons and those kinds of things are a legitimate expense for the Municipal Street Aid Fund, so there's no difficulty in
allocating that money when they're ready to spend it. So that's not an issue. That funding, although it doesn't appear in the budget, that funding is in the municipal street aid account.
That's the money that we got that we can't touch except for sidewalks and stuff like that.
Sidewalks, driveways, handicapped access.
So we do have the money to help them make.
Yeah. It had been originally, we had identified it, it had a separate accounting code for it, and since it wasn't spent in the budget year, it wasn't carried over as a line item, and we changed the chart of accounts.
On that issue, with council's indulgence, I'd like to ask for a formal motion to identify those funds for that project.
I'll make a motion that we did. If it's been done before, we'll make sure it's done this form.
Second.
Sorry. Also, a question. Brooks, is that $20,000 represent just the difference, the cost between the brick pavers and the concrete?
That's correct, sir.
What's the total cost of the project?
Sidewalk was $65,000.
A lot of brick.
What that encompasses is everything in front of the station with the exception of the apron and Delaware Street to our property line.
I would suggest we're going to probably use tinted stamped concrete in parts of downtown because of the cost of brick pavers. You might want to look at that as an option to help, you know, particularly if the cost of concrete for the apron ends up being is what I think it probably will end up being just for the budget.
I doubt very much if it's going to be feasible to do the apron and brick with the weight of the equipment, with the town sanding and salting force in bad weather. That's probably not going to be feasible. We would be looking at some type of a stamped product. If not a stamped concrete, an epoxy over concrete stamp.
Any other questions on the motion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. What's the pleasure of the council regarding the $800 permit fee? Is that a percentage of the cost of the project?
Yeah, that's a formula-driven permit. It's the same issue that we ran into with the bleachers at the school. It's a function of you know, so many dollars for the first $1,000 of improvements and so much per each additional. So one of them is 500 and some dollars, and the other is three. Is that right?
I think it was like 755 and 51.
Okay, I don't know, some number. But it is strictly a... just a function of the permit fee schedule, which...
The question we had is we were trying to do this in conjunction with the Four Corners project, which we thought would be ongoing by now. And, I mean, the businesses downtown are not going to be charged permit fees when all that is done. We just thought it was unfair for us to have to pay that when we're paying for the cost of the product also.
Well, not hearing anybody speak up, I'll... pass the gavel to the vice mayor and make a motion to waive the permit fee for that project of $800.
I have a question.
Should we see if we get a second and then have discussion?
I'll second it for discussion purposes. What I know we've excused permit fees in the past associated with commercial properties and that sort of thing, but what do we have any written criteria for excusing permit fees?
No.
I don't think so.
Basically, it's a case by case review by the mayor and council. I don't have any authority to waive the fees by myself.
Let me ask you: Is the fees for downtown when that project gets done? Is each store or
no?
They gonna pay their
all of the sidewalk and street repairs and improvements in the downtown project have always been built into the cost that the town would, basically the town was going to replace the sidewalks at our cost with no fees, because at the time we're doing that, we're replacing all the utility services underneath them. So we're going to be tearing up the existing sidewalks for water, sewer, electric, telephone, what have you. So in that designated redevelopment district.
But then how do we justify with people out that still are in town, like on South Street and other streets, that they've got to pay for their sidewalks?
Correct. The responsibility of the sidewalk falls on the property owner.
So what's the difference between downtown and...
The difference downtown is that we're undertaking a public project to replace the utilities.
And we've got to rip it all up as part of our public project.
That's so if you ripped up South Street, you would replace that sidewalk if it had to be?
Not normally, no. Because and
wait,
the,
man, that's not.
Now the reason
that ain't fair, Darryl.
Darryl, where are you? Darryl, I need you. The reason being that normally in South Street, for example, all of the utility service connections are at the curb line. So we would not normally be extending any public works beyond the curb line. For example, in front of my house, if we were going to tear up South Street and redo it, the curb stops for water and sewer service are at the curb. Behind the curb is my responsibility as the property owner. Downtown, we're actually going to replace the utility services to the building proper. In other words, in addition to we're not going to stop at the curb. We're going to carry the new water and sewer lines, you know, into the building because we're going to have to dig out all that area in order to replace all the basic services. So we're going to be the one that's causing the replacement, causing the problem. And since we're going to be tearing up so much of the sidewalk to do it.
But if you had to tear up the sidewalk on South Street for some reason.
If it was to replace, yeah.
You would replace it?
Only if the work being
done. Well, then I'm going to move my business downtown if you're going to give me something free.
I'd be glad to give you something downtown.
Yeah.
Go to Four Corners.
That's this.
Well, none of that's going to affect the location of the fire company.
Correct, right.
So and that $20,000 we're giving the fire company from
Municipal Street Aid
is legitimate money for that purpose.
For that purpose.
And that I understand, but it was correct.
But I think it's, I just feel it's bad precedent to be excusing permit fees unless we have some criteria that we can plug these requests into and see whether they meet them or not.
Any other comments?
Well, when do you need the decision on the $800 by?
I believe our permit expired at the end of December, and we've been waiting since last September for this project.
So it's pretty timely. You need to get this done
right
away.
We're going to start the project next week.
Actually, you've put up your fence without your permit.
It's completed, sir.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
But I didn't want to remind you of that or anything.
Mr. Hugg?
If I can elaborate on that, we were told one price, and then a check was brought to Town Hall, and it was a different price, and they wouldn't refund the difference.
They can't refund the difference.
So we were going to dig it back up.
Mr. Hugg, as this is basically your domain, responsible for the budget and the permits and fees and everything else, what's your position on this?
Thank you. I'll take the same position I took on the on the school bleachers. You've set a permit fee structure which applies for all construction in the town of Smyrna. I have no authority to waive it, and so therefore I would suggest that these fees, like anybody else's fees, be assessed. The decision to waive them is a council decision.
Should we call the question?
That's where I think we just one more comment, if you will. This is where I think that what Mr. Burritt's saying about we need some criteria, because clearly waiving it for the fire company, which is a nonprofit service that helps all of us, would be very different from waiving it for me. So, okay, that's all the questions I have.
Let's call a question. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. No. Motion carries. Thank you. Is there any other council business?
Thank you very much.
One last thing. Janet, when can we get the letter to them about the approval from the historical committee?
It's actually tied to the building permit.
Well, the record will show that you were approved.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Any other council business? A motion to adjourn?
Make a motion to adjourn.
All in favor?
Aye.
Seconded.
Yeah, he seconded. I'm going to tell you right now. If downtown comes on, there's going to be a lot of
people up there.
Well, that's
okay. But if, say, like, if they came down,
there's going to be a park on the end here.